Bianca, so glad to welcome you back to the studio. Thank you for being here this morning.
It's so good to be here.
Awesome. Okay, well, what are we going to be talking about today?
Today we're talking about a poem called Capitalism by a poet, Dara Barwah Dixon, who lives in Amherst, Massachusetts.
Capitalism.
Capitalism, yes.
Okay, I'm curious. Here we go.
Capitalism. It makes me feel about as low as ASAP makes me feel. As if someone is warning me, a snake's in my path. Only it's a pretty snake I'm in need of to make my life whole. There are so many kinds of us, coming in various versions of ourselves and one another. There is, for instance, a type whose bold sense of entitlement is bolstered by an unquestioned innate sense of righteousness, heady combinations, something calling for constant comparison, something sometimes useful, other times blindingly obliterating to beauty, grace, love, empathy, sympathy, insight, courage, humor, love, grace, humor, wit, foresight, generosity, love, humor, truth, empathy, grace, sympathy, empathy, sincerity, grace, truth, beauty with courage, adventuresomeness, surprise, love, humor, empathy, kindness, withholding judgment, love, humor, empathy, recklessness, generosity, love, humor, despair, understanding, love, humor, empathy, recklessness, love, humor, despair, loving, kindness, love, humor, empathy, humor, joy, sympathy, love, kindness, courage. I feel so grateful every time I read this poem and I get to this list at the end, this just trance that you go into. It reminds me of something of a Sufi trance or something, you know. It's a spiritual act, these words. And what a contrast to the idea of capitalism here. The individual, the private company, the private property, ownership, acquirement of objects, you know, these things, especially when you're talking about poetry and being a poet, it's oftentimes coupled in conversations with the fact that poetry doesn't make money, quote unquote, as if that's the first part of the conversation about poetry. We don't understand poets' function. What good is it, we say? What good is studying it? What kind of job can you get with it? And I think it's actually a really good question. And the question itself offers a lot of insight. I think Barwah Dixon shows us in a very short period of time with some very familiar words in this chant at the end of the poem that the sort of divisiveness and hierarchical nature that capitalism can bring about, while there's good things in this constant comparison, sometimes useful, other times blindingly obliterating to beauty, grace, and that's what starts off the list. Poetry can show us that there's something that we've forgotten that's much bigger than the conversation of does it make money? What is ownership? What is empathy with one another? What is something beyond the individual? I think is one instance here, because look at the words she repeats: love, generosity, empathy, sympathy. These are moments of finding something greater than the individual I, the individual self. So poetry's function, what does it do? Is it doesn't make money, but it brings us back into right relation with ourselves and with the world. and with grace and humor and courage.
So as we've talked about before, I've never formally studied poetry. I did formally study theater and was reading a ton of plays at the time, like a play a night. And as I was reading them, and there's definitely something to be gained from that. I was a director. It's helpful, but they're not meant to be read. They're meant to be performed. And when you just read this poem, the second half of it took on a completely different nature for me when I heard it aloud versus just reading it. Do you recommend when we're reading poetry that we should read it aloud?
Absolutely. Its origins were in the oral tradition. It preceded the written word, so it always will have a dimension of the spoken and the uttered and music. It's embodied language. It's not like prose. It has rhythm and beats that are mirroring the breath and movements of the body, the heartbeat. So to read poetry out loud is to hear it how it should be heard in a way, and to embody it yourself. It's amazing because when you think of it that way, you think, I'm embodying Keats's breath. I'm embodying Robert Frost or Mary Oliver, whoever it is. And that's such a gift. Memorizing it is another way to understand the words much more deeply. And that's why we don't understand poetry the first read through oftentimes, because we don't know how to hear it. But all we have to do is try reading it out loud, and we start to understand in a whole different way. Reading poetry out loud is a whole other experience and a beautiful one.
Well, it is a privilege to hear you read a poem every month on the Vermont Public Air. Bianca Stone, thank you for joining us today and bringing us this really thought-provoking poem. We'll see you next month.
It sounds good, Jen.